That's good. Well, it is a real privilege to be with you on this first Sunday of 2016. Thank you, Greg and Michelle. And we have really enjoyed getting to know you more and more. We're so thankful that my parents-in-law, Ray and Cindy Tyler, came here a year or two ago and helped make the connection for us. And good to see some of our friends that were here that worked with us where we were in our church here. Ed and Karen Ruff and Art and Tina, good to see you here. Frank and Patty Rigdon, not sure who else I'll forget. Good to see Jim and Kathy, my sister and brother-in-law, ministry people as well. And I'm just so very excited about the prophetic word for the year that I have to share today. And before I get into that, though, I was just seeing some things in worship for you as a church, and I just wanted to briefly share that. You know, I was seeing Greg and Michelle, seeing a vision of a very large and thick foundation, and he was saying that represented Northland's church, and that he had actually just finished the foundation, but it was so thick that it's obviously intended to be something very significant in the spirit. In fact, I heard right away, apostolic hub. And I feel like he showed me that the foundation had been sown in grace. There's apostolic grace in the foundation. And now he's going to build an apostolic hope. And I believe that will be a theme. Not that you shift from grace, grace stays there, but there's an understanding of hope. You know, hope is not just wishful thinking. Hope is the expectation of good from God in every area of life. And when we don't have that, we're not connected to his hope. And he's called in the scripture the God of hope. And I believe there's an invitation for you to be a people of outrageous hope. And, you know, like nonsensical hope, Pollyanna hope. And for that spirit to be released in this place and for people to get it as a virus, that it'll be like a Holy Ghost viral infection they receive when they come into this building, that they can believe in a God that's bigger and greater than anything they've ever seen or thought of before. So it's a real exciting time for you. I do believe that the apostolic center and apostolic hub is something that's going to be very significant in the coming days, both in the city, in the nation, and among the nations. And I believe the Lord with you and with the way that you operate very intentionally and you think strategically, that's been good. And now he's going to add, you know, this may not have been your plan to start building this year, but he builds on top of the grace foundation now. There's what we try to do, and we're not sure if we're ahead of him or behind him in sometimes, but that's what he's going to be doing, and I believe he's releasing outrageous hope among you. And so that's good. So I'm going to share, you know, every year I usually give a prophetic perspective for the year. And I will, you know, release this. It'll probably be on the Elijah list. It'll go on our Facebook page if you miss some of it. I'm going to stick to my notes pretty closely because whenever I stray from my notes, I go too long. So you probably appreciate that. And it's better, it's usually funnier, all kinds of things when I stray from my notes, but it's also longer, so you know, I won't make you vote for that. But, you know, the scripture speaks of sons of Issachar, and it says, from the tribe of Issachar, they were those who had understanding in the times what Israel ought to do. And it is, you know, I will attempt to speak out of an Issacharian perspective and anointing. Obviously, the spirit inside of you can help you judge if it's correct or not, but it becomes important even as a year starts to frame a year and to choose to believe even the narrative that I'm going to give you now. I think it'll be important for you. I think literally your year can go good or bad based on the narrative that you choose to embrace. And so it's important. And I'm going to cover the fact that it's a year of a true year of jubilee. That I'm going to talk just a little bit about Donald Trump. So try to talk about Donald Trump without being controversial. Now that's going to be really hard. The presidency, about Muslims, about the economy, about justice. And before I do that, just a little bit of a prophetic review from 2015. You know, we are entering another phenomenal year of unprecedented kingdom advancement. And many markers tell us that this is a very special year. It's a year of a presidential election. It's a leap year. And it's also a most unique year of Jubilee that I'll go into in just a moment. It also comes at the beginning of what is supposed to be the biggest El Nino weather phenomenon ever, based on the heating of the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Peru. It is the hottest it's ever been registered, and so even some of the phenomenon of a warm Christmas has to do with that. And furthermore, this is all taking place in an era of renaissance, and renaissance in the knowledge of God. Elizabeth mentioned a book we just released, The Seven Mountain Renaissance, Vision and Strategy through 2050, and I do strongly recommend that as well, because it helps frame a narrative that you can contend for and believe towards. And we are in the age of the restoration of all things, spoken of by the prophets. That's biblical. Acts 3:21, that Jesus is held in the heaven until certain things have been restored. Certain aspects of the knowledge of God have to be released upon all the earth before he is coming back. And we've also now made it through the September-December window, where it has become clear that the doomsday scenarios for those months, that they have not taken place. The economy did not collapse. No meteorite hit us. We had no destructive earthquakes or tsunamis. The rapture did not occur. Feel pretty certain. We are not experiencing martial law. ISIS did not inflict catastrophic damage on the United States. Russia didn't invade. China didn't invade. Iran didn't invade. I don't know how many of those scenarios we read. I just listed some of them. We could say, et cetera, et cetera. They did not happen. But instead, an estimated 100 million people became followers of Jesus Christ in 2015. Including a reported 500,000 Muslims. More Muslims have come to Christ since 9/11 than in the previous history of Islam, total. The number of Holy Spirit-filled believers reached almost 1 in 10 on the planet. It's over 700 million. And that is by far the highest ever in total and percentage. The extreme poverty rate in the world dropped to its lowest ever. Abortions in America dropped to almost one half the rate they were in 1990. Divorce rates continued their recent substantial drop, over 20% since 1990. Teen pregnancies dropped to their lowest since 1940, when statistics started. I didn't mention the fact that also it was a year of the historic blood moons. So in a year with the historic blood moons, the beginning of a historic Jubilee season, the beginning of the biggest El Nino ever, and the warmest year ever recorded for the planet, because that's also something that has been told us, what many thought portended to disaster instead speaks of an acceleration of forceful kingdom advancement. You know, while many fretted and announced, talked about Satan's kingdom advancing, the reality is that our Father's kingdom began to take over world stages. In Hollywood, faith-themed movies made over $300 million. And a whole stream of faith-themed movies are on their way. They're going to get progressively better. Eventually, they'll connect to the glory that's available. Perhaps more significant than that is the fact that there were billions of box office dollars of movies whose primary themes were the kingdom values of courage, redemption, honor, forgiveness, integrity, and love. Really, all the hit movies had these themes. Furthermore, it has become common for many of the stars on the various singing and dancing shows to be Christians. If you get a chance, see Jordan Smith, winner of The Voice, sing Mary, Did You Know? And, or Great Is Thy Faithfulness. See Jennifer Phillips of X Factor UK sing Mary Mary's Shackles. The anointing came into that place, and even Simon didn't know what to do with it. The anointing is beginning to be showcased on the biggest platforms of the world, and you can see it visibly affect the judges and the audience. We see Justin Bieber beginning to awaken to his call as he goes on the record. In a recent Rolling Stone interview, he just pointed out, I just want to be like Jesus. It's like, I can't be the savior of the world. I know I'm not going to do it like him, but I really have no other goal but to be like Jesus. Furthermore, his latest album is full of references to God and his purpose to properly serve him. It is actually becoming cool in Hollywood to go to Bible studies and to have pastors. The whole industry is in an extreme makeover, and it is creating unprecedented opportunities for the king's kids, the ones that know their assignment, to bring glory to him. Suddenly, a Christian from Atlanta named Tyler Perry is a key player and a heavyweight in the industry. A brand new complex, highly financed by Chick-fil-A, called Pinewood Studios in southern Atlanta, has seemingly overnight become the place to do the movies. We hear about it from Hollywood. It is now called Atlanta's $6 billion entertainment industry, film industry. And it is believers making the big difference there. The shift in the last 3 years alone has been monumental, and it is all just starting. We are headed to a time where it will be more the exception when an award or a prize not go to an open follower of Jesus Christ. Papa's showtime has just begun. Meanwhile, this is also the case for the major sports platforms as well. Derrick Henry, running back of Alabama, winner of the Heisman Trophy, made sure in his speech when he received the award to tell of his love for God over and over and how he prays to him every day and for other players to do so as well. Dabo Sweeney, coach of undefeated and number one Clemson, in his big Orange Bowl win, his interview right after, he began his comments with thanking God for his goodness and stating his desire to give him glory. And he couldn't say it enough times. Boxing champion Manny Pacquiao, the Philippines, is very overt in his love for God. Recent surprise, shocking UFC World Championship winner on the women's side, Holly Holm, is known as the preacher's daughter. And it's because she is. John Jones, the best mixed martial arts fighter in the world, is also a minister's kid, though he has had a moral failing. He has Philippians 4:13 tattooed on his chest, but has had a tough time recently as Christians in the spotlight do occasionally fail the character test. PGA Tour 21-year-old sensation and player of the year, Jordan Spieth, is a believer as well. NBA, National Basketball Association, most valuable player, Stephen Curry, is an avowed strong believer, as are many of his NBA champion Golden State Warriors. 24 of the starting 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, including Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning, are open followers of Jesus. World best soccer team Barcelona has the 2015 breakout star Neymar of Brazil, who is an open follower of Jesus. I could go on and on, but while many have been obsessing with the giants in the land, 2015 was a breakout year on the world stages for sons and daughters of the Most High. It is already at an unprecedented level, and this will be the prevailing trend moving forward. Furthermore, a huge shift is taking place within Christianity itself. that many are worried about, but they shouldn't be because it's a good thing. The huge shift is away from sin awareness and consciousness and fear to grace consciousness and hope. The sin-focused camp is in a panic over this trend, but it is a good and necessary one. What you focus on, you make room for. We have been highlighting sin for centuries and reaped accordingly. Now there is a shift and movement to let grace rule and release its fruit. There are major voices like Joseph Prince, Andrew Womack, and now recently Creflo Dollar, preaching an emphasis on grace. That may not have every I dotted perfectly and every T crossed perfectly, but on the other hand, that's the idea of grace. It is about his work versus our work. And it's about an inside-out dynamic rather than an outside-in. To the degree we remain an outside-in modality, we are essentially stuck in Old Testament paradigm. External pressures cannot produce inner transformation. And transformation is the goal. Grace-transformed individuals can then transform their world, expanding the same inside-out dynamics. We've been going after the world the same way, outside-in instead of inside-out. We've been going after behavior instead of understanding hearts must be reached. We also have an amazing voice of hope called Joel Osteen, who is not just an inch deep and a mile wide, but he's carrying a huge anointing on his life and on his message, as well as the accompaniment of the largest angel of hope on the planet. Again, the sin-focused crowd hates him. Don't be one of them. Millions of unbelievers are watching him in over 100 nations, and they are getting a much better perspective of God than our old turn or burn voices of days past. Joel's message of hope has him nicknamed the smiling preacher. He has 15 New York Times best-selling books to his credit that champion that. He and T.D. Jakes carry the titles of America's most influential pastors, and T.D. is also a great voice of hope in a hope-starved world. To these names, we could add the name of Bill Johnson as a great voice of hope in the world as he champions a good God who's in a good mood, as well as a God full of power who is desirous to pour that out now. All of these above perspectives are us just looking back into 2015 and identifying some of the breakthroughs we are presently experiencing. If we can't see him already at work in our past, we're going to have a hard time seeing him in our future. Many of us may need our vision healed so we can see things in an appropriate way. The kingdom of God is going to forcefully advance in 2016, but it was already forcefully advancing, and it's going to forcefully advance 2016, but it was already forcefully advancing in 2015. All right, let me speak a little bit about Donald Trump and the year of Jubilee. 2016 brings to us the most remarkable synergy of time, personages, and events. When we connect to the Hebraic calendar, we find out that we are in the midst of the 70th Jubilee since Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land leading the children of Israel. Don't know if you're aware of that. It's not just a normal year of Jubilee. It is also the 40th Jubilee since Jesus was on the earth. The number 70 is a very significant number in the Bible that speaks of restoration. It is a multiple of 7, it's a number of perfection, and 10, which is a number of completeness. Furthermore, the original year of Jubilee of Leviticus 25 was to start on the 7th month and on the 10th day. That we are in a 70th Jubilee time period is something we don't want to miss. Now, Leviticus, we won't take the time, but you can look at it later. Leviticus 25 gives us the central tenets of a year of Jubilee. First of all, it was a year for the ground to rest from production. More importantly for us, it was a year all the indebted were forgiven their debts. The shofar was to be blown. The trumpet was to be blown everywhere. And it was a sound that proclaimed a new season of liberty. At the sound of the trumpet, everyone received a fresh start. And so it was a time of renewed hopes and dreams. It's literally when it kicked off for them, it's when they could hear the trumpet sound, the shofar, the sound of the trump, their year began. Every one of us needs to really grasp this as a truth and reality that we can stake a claim on. It's to be applicable to us today. You know, furthermore, I believe it is to be a seven-year reality for it. I don't have much time to go into it today, but I believe we're not just going to be in a one-year jubilee, but there's a seven-year jubilee for us and for the United States, as it is not just a year of jubilee, but it is the 70th since Israel entered into their promised land. Now, your promised land is your appointed area for maximum kingdom of God fruitfulness. So you're beginning a seven-year period of entering into that. It really is not about you becoming rich and famous, though aspects of both of those could take place as you discover and enter your promised land. The Donald Trump connection is this. First of all, his name, Trump. And secondly, Trump turned 70 in the middle of 2016. It is not just coincidence that the political figure garnering the most attention all over the world is a man whose name is Trump and who is turning 70 in a year when there is a 70th jubilee. We want to see that at minimum, the symbolism of his name and age is to draw our attention to the trumpet blowing of a most unique jubilee season. Whatever else Donald Trump will do or stand for is at minimum a reminder to us all of the unique year that we are entering into. More on that in just a moment. The presidency, question mark. Let me state up front that I have not been shown by the Lord who will be the next president of the United States. Saves me from giving a wrong prophetic word. Let me also state that I have my doubts that it would be Donald Trump. I think many have perceived that God is saying something through the appearance of Mr. Trump, but most will then also comment that they aren't necessarily saying he will be president. If Trump is a trumpet or shofar sound that God is using, then if we follow the biblical pattern, the shofar was never the thing God was doing, but only that which activated or facilitated that which God was doing. The shofar is actually not a very nice sound, but it introduces something good and announces something good. The trumpet was not the year of Jubilee, but only the announcer of it. The appearance of Trump in the political arena has clearly made this election a hybrid like no other. Normal rules are out the door. The candidates that seem best positioned with resources and organization ahead of time have not seen that translate into the normal advantages they usually do. As it relates to Trump's primary political stances, I personally believe that many of them represent what God is judging in the United States as opposed to what he is endorsing. If you draw up a kingdom blueprint for who God would ever have, who God would choose as president for the United States, you would not necessarily pick a three times married divider, polarizer, significantly challenging the fruit of the Holy Spirit, brash individual as that representative. A recent survey, you know, said that 50% of Americans would be embarrassed to have Trump as president. He is presently operating as a bull or the bull in the China shop of the 2016 elections. Yeah, the question is ultimately, will he run the shop or just cause its rebuilding? I don't know. I really don't. I believe that the process will bear out that God has been much more sovereign than many of us have imagined, and that Donald Trump will prove out to have been a virtual puppet for the purposes of God. I saw a vision of God holding the strings above the man that ironically is considered one not beholden to anyone. I believe one reason we are not getting clarity on just who is God's candidate for this election is that God is being very efficient and proficient with the process as he uses it as education into his ways. He is less trying to get in the, quote, right candidate and more trying to teach us the right lessons. I believe we are going to see a manifestation of Psalm 76:10 for this electoral season, where it says, "Human defiance only enhances your glory, for you use it as a weapon." There's a whole message for that, but we won't go there. As it relates to the presidency, what I'm sure of is that whomever ultimately will be the president will be, in fact, orchestrated by God. The reason we so often miss being in agreement with his choice for president is that we are often not aware of what God is working on next. We are out of time and rhythm with him. We don't understand his patience and long-suffering, and therefore wrongfully assume that what is priority for us must be his priority. Many of us don't even have him in the equation at all, perhaps, rather instead being driven by our fears, and then all who are, then justifying why they are entitled to their fears. There's a lot of that going around. It is of utmost importance to be in the right narrative of the day. With the wrong narrative, we will desire to elect the wrong candidate. What you believe about illegal immigrants, Muslims, ISIS, the economy, and the day we live in is what will affect your choice of presidential candidate. If you are more fearful about the issues, you're going to vote one way. If you're more hopeful or hope-filled, you'll perhaps vote in another direction. Regardless of how you or I do vote, I will release it as a prophetic word that the candidate of God's choice will be he or she who gets in this year. It's not a big deal, you say. But I see him, he is very, very involved in this election. If there are elections where he says, well, I'll just give them who they want, this year is not one of them. The intentionality of God will rule supreme even in our freedom of democratic expression. When you are God, you can figure out how to do this. A little bit on Muslims. Muslims are such key protagonists in this and the coming season. Because of this reality, many are not sure if they are the next Nazi force to be feared and defended against, or is it our next harvest field? The answer is the latter. And it is an answer we must be right about, or we will miss a great opportunity. Fear keeps you out of kingdom advancement, while love and courage connect you to it. As I said earlier, more Muslims have come to Jesus since 9/11 than in the lengthy history of Islam. Furthermore, most of the amazing things taking place in Muslim nations cannot now be told because of the added persecution it would bring to get out these testimonies. There are credible reports of in excess of 25,000 Muslims coming to Jesus every day. Most of them, after having experienced supernatural encounters, either personally or dreams with the Lord, there are reports that at least 10% of all Muslims have had dreams where Jesus has in some way revealed himself to them. They are often just waiting for the last of the connecting the dots to be done for them so that they can see him as Savior. I've also been receiving reports of the quality of many of these new converts to Christ, and it is obvious how their radical, courageous brand of Christianity is going to infuse the whole body of Christ with a much-needed upgrade. We need the Muslim converts to Christ almost as much as they need Christ. Christianity is not meant to be the second or third most passionate religion on the planet, but rather the most passionate. Furthermore, that passion is meant to be a reflection of the love of God as opposed to rules and rituals. The Muslim converts to Christ will be champion demonstrators of his love, his hospitality, his courage, his faith, and his supernatural capabilities. The blinding principality that has had Muslims in its vice grip is being decimated and weakened as never before. And then there will be a virtual crash of that principality that will rock the planet into turbo kingdom acceleration. The whole world being challenged with Sharia law is not the future narrative of the globe. A 500 million Muslims coming into the kingdom is the direction we're headed for. And it will be soon enough. Major headline story, a sequence, waves of headline stories about God doing this. You as a believer can accelerate or decelerate that based on your own participation with the right or wrong narrative. A little bit about the economy. The one constant before us is and will be change. A generation of superhero believers are rising and about to rise, and they will challenge the status quo everywhere. They will rise on every mountain of society. They will rise in media, in the economy, in mountain of family, government, mountain of celebration of arts and entertainment, the mountain of education, the mountain of religion. And they will bring our Papa's better way of doing everything to every area of society. The kingdom way is the better way of doing things. As a major part of that, the great angel of the mountain of economy has been released with his armies. I believe the Lord showed me he was released this last Rosh Hashanah. He has been activated over us, and he will both care for the world economy as well as provide the wisdom for the better systems that must replace the systems of mammon. You know, there is no present economic crisis in any nation where the solution of that crisis does not already exist, pre-embedded in the sons and daughters of the king. The United States, $18 or $19 trillion debt, is only an impossible situation with man. It is not if there is a solution, but only what is that solution from a kingdom perspective. The year of the 70th Jubilee hits us just right for this as well. And if we are, and we are required to carry a perspective of hope, a voice of hope, a perspective of hope in that regard. If the world's economic future were up to humans alone, we would indeed be headed for cataclysmic end in the soon coming days. Everyone who can do the math and knows enough about economic matters can see that. However, there is not now going to be a world economic crash. Because we are going to partner with the heavenly help being sent us, and we will find his Jubilee solutions for us. It is the devil who is wanting to crash the world economy. We do not want to agree with the devil. It's because there is a world harvest presently taking place, over 250,000 a day coming into the kingdom, 1 million every 4 days, and he's seeking to sabotage that. He is not going to succeed, as God is going to have mercy on us yet again. We will have hiccups and bumps, but they will just allow for more sound and transparent systems to be implemented. Remove yourself from the fear associated with the economy, as that only strengthens the principality of mammon. Mammon is greed and fear, and either one is just as bad. You can be in fear and pray a lot, it's still mammon. I had a real vivid dream recently that I was having my blood pressure taken. To my surprise, it came out a very low 111 over 70, which is much lower than anything I see. Those numbers have stuck with me, and I realized that the Lord was speaking me through the numbers themselves. For some of you who've been following some of the posts and prophetic words I've been given, you'll identify the 111 and 1111 as being a number I have been speaking much into in the recent season. Now with this post, you can also see the significance of the 70 number. I believe the Lord desires all of us to carry a 111 over 70 spiritual blood pressure. This is even more important than your natural blood pressure, which can be quite an inexact science at times. The 70 stands for a time of restoration and for Jubilee. The 111 is about us crossing into promised land and living by faith. and advancing by faith. Jubilee and faith are two key words for us to walk in. Here are two quick 1:11 passages. Joshua 1:11 says, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own." 40 years later than it was supposed to, but 1:11 announced the kickoff of that. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what we don't see." So if you can't remember the substance, the essence of what I'm saying of the 1:11 over 70, then just remember these three words: fun, faith, and fruitfulness. This is the essence of the blood pressure that he has available for you. Now, the fun may seem to be most inappropriate for certain situations, but perhaps we're wrong about that. It is perhaps the most appropriate. Paul said, "Count it all joy when you fall into many tribulations and trials. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes." Now, rejoice in the Lord always. "The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." In 2016, keep your fun on. Keep your faith on. Keep your fruitfulness on. It's the year of Jubilee, and you don't want to miss its benefits. Here's your guarantee for a jubilant 2016. Psalm 16, 5 through 9. I recommend you read perhaps the whole psalm afterwards, but we'll look at verses 5 through 9 right now. "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rejoice in hope." Now, I think it can be helpful also. I'm going to read it again in the Living Bible. Again, this is to sustain you. This is your assurance of having a jubilant 2016. "The Lord himself is my inheritance, my prize. He is my food and drink, my highest joy. He guards all that is mine. He sees that I am given pleasant brooks and meadows as my share. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me. He gives me wisdom in the night. He tells me what to do. I am always thinking of the Lord, and because he is near, I never need to stumble or fall. Heart, body, and soul are filled with joy." Now, I recommend you to IV that somehow. As we are going into 2016, there are two distinct groups with a distinctive path for each. I see that many of you have been or will be. Some of you just came out of it. You may have just experienced it or will be soon coming. You suddenly were thrown or will be thrown into transition, into reboot mode, into GPS recalculating. This will all prove to be divinely orchestrated. Remember, he is your inheritance. He's looking after for your future. The times and seasons of the Lord are going to hit you like a whirlwind, and there will be no more business as usual for you, but you will be divinely repositioned for greater fruitfulness. He has a good inheritance, as we just read, for each and every one of us, and he has lines that fall for you in a pleasant place. All assured as you make the Lord himself your portion and your inheritance. He is the one that maintains your lot and guards all that is yours. It is in him you live and move and have your being. Now, briefly, 2016 may feel like you are in a night season of being clueless as to how to proceed. But he will instruct your heart in the night season, what we just read, and he will be your wisdom and lead you into a jubilee season. Now, for the second group, this is now a year of acceleration and abundance. I know most of you prefer that group. Either one's good. You have, in fact, already been on the lines that fall in a pleasant place, and you will be shown a greater vein of treasure. You are already in the right field of inheritance, and fun, faith, and fruitfulness is your immediate track. Whichever group you find yourself in, keep the 111 over 70 blood pressure of faith and year of Jubilee expectation. We must all shift to a mentality of abundance and stay in that no matter what the test or the contradiction. Say that one more time. We must all shift to a mentality of abundance and stay in that no matter what. No matter the test, no matter the contradiction. All things are possible and at any time. Nothing is impossible in 2016. That's, I believe, something he's probably going to echo that one in your ears. The Holy Spirit will, even in the coming days. Nothing is impossible in 2016. As we get into closing here, a time of the justice of God. Justice will be a big theme in 2016 and may possibly deserve, I'll probably give another word on that in the future. We will see it emphasized and applied in many areas, including our own justice system as a nation that is presently highly and inexcusably unjust. We will specifically see it applied as judgment, which means a rendering of a verdict coming to the house of God. Matthew 20:16 and Luke 20:16 are appropriate passages that will apply. Matthew 20:16 says, "So the last will be first, and the first last." And this will be a reality applied over many situations. Luke 20:16 is a little stronger. We won't go into the story itself, but we'll read. It says, quote, "He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyards to others." It was about vine dressers wrongfully operating their vineyards. The vineyards speak of churches, denominations, and ministries, especially TV ministries, that God has assisted in setting up. And the vine dressers are those who have shamefully treated the Son. That's what had happened in the story. While the church has been heavily pointing its finger at society, the justice of the Lord will show up over his house as the present focus. Many vine dressers have assumed the vineyard where they operate is theirs, but they will soon find out it is his vineyard. 2016 will bear out to be a year where God does a lot of promoting and demoting in his house. We'll see a lot of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. It is all part of the year of Jubilee. There's more. I wrote for Rosh Hashanah 2015. I believe it was entitled "The Year You Will Roar." There is more if you want to hear. There's, because that just began from Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah. There is more on it, but this is pretty much all we're covering for now. All in all, 2016 will bear out to be a wonderful year of kingdom advancement. The spiritual atmosphere is clearing up, and demonstrations of glory will be greatly on the increase. Voices of hope and eyes of hope will experience the greatest favor and heavenly help. Let me say that one again. Voices of hope and eyes of hope will experience the greatest favor and heavenly help. God will be greater than every challenge, and he will have a solution for every crisis. If you will gaze into his face, you will see written on his face, all is possible. Keep your mouth in agreement with who he is, and your greatest year is in front of you. He wants you to have a great year. If you'll just stand with me, I'd like to just pray in closing. Going to ask you, I just feel like he just wants to pour his presence. Sometimes we go to the holiday season, we haven't had been in enough meetings, we haven't been in the anointing enough, and we're just feeling a little bit presence drained. Serving the Lord is not about doing the right things and the right doctrines, the right principles. We're going to be people of his presence, people that carry him. His glory is going to be an increasing reality in 2016. I believe there's a measure of it. He just wants to pour out on us even right now. Like, if you just, yeah, hold your hands like this just to receive. And let just spirit to spirit, he knows your heart. If you've been feeling like you've been in a dry place, like you're not going to stop serving him. You've been serving him, but it's like you just haven't had water. You haven't felt his presence. He wants you to experience that right now, to get your 2016 kicked off right. You're not going to step into the right narrative of hope if you can't connect to his presence. He's inviting each and every one of us to carry his presence. Lord, I just ask, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now with us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that I'm just responding to what you're speaking to me. You say, I want to pour out on my sons and daughters that are here. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that right now, your presence, your glory would fall on us. Let the sweetness of who you are just penetrate every area of our mind, soul, and body. Where our hearts have become cynical, right now, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are breathing your breath of life. Life into our hearts. Where our hearts have become stony, cold. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching. Just see him touching hearts, his finger. It's like there's the finger of God touching hearts right now. I believe physically you'll feel something. Your heart hasn't been, I feel there's a good number of you, just your heart hasn't been feeling anything. Right now, you're being touched by the finger of God so that you can feel. You can feel his storyline, his narrative, his encouragement. Pass that on. Just release it more. It come in more. Just flood our hearts right now. Yeah. Just keep drinking. Let your spirit keep drinking. It's very important right now. Let your glory fall, Lord. Let your glory fall. Let your presence. Let us be people of presence, people of hope, people of courage, people of faith, people of outrageous hope. Just a minute more. Just keep receiving. Just soaking that in. I can see in the spirit just dry grounds, drinking it in, drinking it in, drinking it in. Let your presence come. Let it increase. Let it increase more. As he pours in his peace and joy into you, I just speak you being set free from anxiety, clouds of oppression, depression. Start the year without it in the name of Jesus. To see him pouring in oil right now in stomachs. And a lot of that reason, I believe there's a good number of you that have had, there's like fear trapped in your stomach and you just wake up and it's there before your brain's even started. And right now, I just speak you are free from that in the name of Jesus. No more, no more. As the song said, you are no longer a slave of fear. You are no longer a slave of fear. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. And he's pouring into you right now the oil. You can walk in that. You can walk in that this year. You can walk in that in your family, where you work, where you operate. We're called to arise and shine and carry his light, his glory into society, Monday through Friday or whatever your work day is. But we have to begin experience him right here. This corporate setting, just a minute more. Just see him increasing in our midst even right now. Touching hearts. Setting us free. Oh, especially all the fears, anxieties, distractions, coldness, deadness. You know, many of us have just have talked our ways into judgments over ourselves, but he's so kind. He's like, he's just saying, just stop it and just bless. 2016, be blessers. Release hope. Ask yourself before you speak anything, is this releasing hope? Be people of hope, of outrageous hope. More. Yes, Lord. Thank you for this place, Lord. Thank you for this church, for this ministry. Thank you for what you have for them in 2016. Thank you for the increase of your light in this place. Thank you for expanded open heavens over this place. Thank you for the new angels being released in this place. Thank you, this is a place of joy, of healing. We'll be known for that. Place of hope, joy, healing. These powerful testimonies will increase, become more and more powerful. There will be more and more contagious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Some of you feel your heart strangely warm towards God this morning. Just wave your hand like this. You feel like, you know what? I just had my heart awakened in a way I needed. That's very good. All right. Amen. Well, it's a privilege being with you. Greg, I'm done.